everyone. This is Mixed Coffee coming at you with Ali, Leslie, and Judy.
You know how we gave them a hint last time? We gave them a word. Palindrome. Do you want to explain, Judy, what that is?
Okay. So last week, we gave you a bit of a hint about what this week's episode will be about. And I said the word palindrome. And for those of you guys who know, or if you looked it up, palindrome is a word that sounds same or spelled the same way forwards and backwards. And that was our hint because that is a key element or theme of the very popular Korean drama that has been out recently called Extraordinary Attorney Woo or Woo Young-woo. And it's been pretty big sensation both globally and in Korea.
Yeah.
And all of us have watched it and loved it to certain degrees. So Ali has, I think, some trivia questions.
Let me see if you guys know this drama well. Let me hear some drum rolls. First question is, how long did it take to film the entire drama? 10 months, 1 year, 8 months, or 6 months?
6 months.
No, Judy, you have a chance.
8 months?
Yeah, correct.
I might have guessed 6 months if Leslie didn't guess it first, just because they don't tend to take very long to film K-dramas.
Aw, you didn't have to say no right away. She could have chosen it too.
Well, that's why it's a trivia. I have to be fast.
No, no, fast didn't help me this time.
I know it's morning.
Gosh darn it. I'll get the next one.
Next one.
I'm ready.
I do have more questions.
Okay, okay. This one needs to be fast. This does not have an option, so you need to be fast. This is speed game here.
Speed is the answer here.
Name another drama that has the main character with ASD.
Oh, The Good Doctor?
Yeah.
But that's also, that's a Korean drama too.
It's both. It's an American drama also.
Oh, I didn't realize the guy was ASD.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also made into an American drama, which is probably more known than
I thought he was just like a I thought he was just like awkward.
Yeah. He's pretty social too.
I love Freddie Highmore.
He always plays kind of an awkward character.
Yeah. I know, they're always endearing.
Let's see who gets the next one. Because it's a tough game here. So, do you guys know on what channel did the drama premiere? On JTBC, TBN, ENA, or NBC?
ENA.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, I've never heard of this channel before.
It's a new one.
ENA, so Leslie got this one. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
You probably get a thumbs up if you win the trivia, so it's a high-stake game.
A thumbs up!
Okay, number four. What did the main character go to see in Jeju Island? Whales? Henyo? Dolphins? Or Hanlasan?
Dolphins.
Yes, it's a trick question.
Did they see dolphins, though?
She likes whales, but they didn't see whales.
No, she did not see whales. We don't have whales in Korea.
We don't? Oh.
We have dolphins.
We have dolphins.
Oh, yeah. I think they mentioned that on the show.
She must have been very, very sad.
Right?
Was it the dolphins that got injured by that boat?
Yeah, there was an incident with one of the dolphins in Jeju Island getting their fins crashed. Actually, a part of it came off because of the motor of the boat because they went way too close to them.
Ooh.
So people felt very, very bad for the dolphin. Like, just seeing the news, were asking people, like, do you have to go that close to see them?
That's why she watches them from the shore.
Yeah, she watches it from the shore because it's a safe distance for both.
I also wonder if a boat would overwhelm her, but that's not a conversation for right now.
Let's see, she's doing it for the dolphins.
Okay, I like that.
You know what I have now for you?
The last question?
The last question, and it's...
Oh my gosh.
And it's going to decide who's going to win this trivia. Let's see. Name of the law firm Woo Young-woo works for.
Hanbada.
I didn't even keep the options. Damn, Leslie, that's good. Nice.
Hey, I watched 16 episodes of them saying Hanbada, so...
But I did have two very interesting options, like Law 101 or Pophak, which is law in Korean. I mean...
You didn't... You want to use Taesan?
I did, but that's not fun. Like, Law 101. So yes, Leslie won two thumbs ups.
Woo! Two thumbs ups. Amazing. Can I screenshot this? Wow.
All right.
All right.
So now that we've had fun little trivia about the show.
So I guess both of you watched the drama.
We did.
It's going to be an easy conversation.
Yeah.
And not really as easy because it's not that easy of a drama. But I want to know what was your first impression of the drama.
Oh.
Just overall.
Leslie, when did you start watching it? Because I was late to get on the train. I started watching when the last couple episodes were coming out.
I started watching nearest the beginning, I think there were four episodes out. Because everyone on Twitter was like, I don't usually watch K-dramas, but you gotta watch Attorney, Strange Attorney Woo-young-woo or Extraordinary. So I thought, okay, yeah, I'll do that. I hear about it enough. And then I started.
I guess I'm the one who keeps up with the drama world because I watched from the beginning.
I just like I can't wait for those next episodes to come out. So I never watch new dramas. And also I never watch those ones that have like huge hype just because I feel like they'll be overhyped. There's a lot of really popular dramas that everyone likes that I don't really enjoy.
Like what?
I haven't properly tried them. Like I've maybe watched like an episode or half an episode, but that's honestly enough for me to know if I'm gonna invest in a K-drama or not. Like I couldn't watch like Goblin, Crash Landing on You,
No way.
Itaewon Class.
Oh.
I could barely get through the first episode.
Wow, those are very popular.
But I agree with all except Crash Landing on You. I couldn't watch the other two.
I don't know, Crash Landing on You. I think I'm just not interested in. I don't like the lead actors. They're just like not my style.
So you're very biased on who the lead is.
We're going to get negative listeners if you say something like that.
Don't worry. We can cut that part out. It's okay. It's not that I'm biased. I just like I think I prefer the kind of like cute, quirky, and kind of funny leads rather than the like serious, cool. And I really dislike the female Korean leads that are super passive and really fragile. Like they don't really defend themselves, but when they do, they just look like they're gonna start crying. Like, I don't like those either. Like I get into very specific genres of K-dramas, but the ones you guys recommended recently, like DP was really good.
You finished it?
I finished it in like one sitting.
My word.
Another one I really loved was Taxi Driver. That's super good.
I don't know that one.
Wait, that's a drama?
Yeah, it's a drama.
Oh, I didn't watch that one.
Those are both kind of like mini dramas, but this Woo Young-woo is probably one of the only full-length dramas recently that I've watched. And for Woo Young-woo, I think I thought she was really cute. I thought she's really cute. And when the lead is like really cute, it just like draws me in. For me, the guy was okay. I think it was just more I like the individual stories. I like that they work on a specific case each episode. It's a bit like Criminal Minds, but I like that it also focused on cases that weren't just criminal, like it wasn't just murder. It got into sort of nitty-gritties about like different types of civil law. And I don't know, I just found it interesting. I really like courtroom legal dramas. That was sort of more the appeal for me than the fact that she was on ASD. Is that how you say on?
On the
On the
spectrum.
spectrum.
Yeah, that she was on the spectrum. Like I found that interesting, but it wasn't like the deciding factor for me. I always look for good legal dramas anyways, but this one kind of felt like a very lighthearted version, but I found the stories to be really like heartwarming and funny. I like the humor. Yeah, and to me the pacing was good. It didn't drag on, and I felt like there were fewer kind of montage scenes, you know, those scenes where they just play music for a really long time and they're like staring at each other in slow motion. I just feel like this show didn't have the patience for that. It was just too much going on. Each episode was very action-packed. At the end it almost felt kind of rushed, but I guess it makes sense that there's a second season because it felt like Young-woo's story was like just starting.
Yeah, they did decide to have another season.
Yeah, so and it that feels right just because it feels like there's so much more needs to happen.
So you liked like all the different elements together, like the package itself was well executed.
I think that's a good way to put it. It didn't keep me bored. A lot of K-dramas, I think, have too many empty, fluffy moments. I think it was also because it wasn't just focused on the romance. There were other things going on. I'd say that's my first impression.
Mine? I actually wasn't super impressed with this drama, and I only finished it because it was so popular. And it's like, okay, I need to know what's going on. But it seems like it wasn't that unique to me. Like it was well done, but I had seen a lot that were similar. I think we mentioned this in a random conversation once. Like there was like the kind of filter they use, or the sound effects they use, or like the more lighthearted way to look at issues, where it doesn't feel super heavy. I've seen that before, and it works really well, and it was executed really well. But that was my first impression. I was like, oh, I've kind of seen this before. I know what they're trying to do.
I think it's because I don't watch these kinds of dramas. I don't watch lighthearted dramas like ever. I only watch like I like these legal courtroom crime dramas, but it's all the super serious ones about like serial killers. So this was like a very different.
Should we know something about you, Judy?
This is just kind of my taste in general. You know, not just for Korean dramas, for any kind of television. I like dark.
Just don't kill me in my sleep.
No. Allie, what was your first impression?
It's very hard to say, 'cause for me, when I watch dramas, I am a fan, but at the same time, I watch them with more critical eye as to what elements I see in the drama and stuff like that, because I do research Korean society and I am interested in popular culture. So I'm looking at how they portray the Korean society and what they talk about and what it's popular in Korea. So I have a lot of criteria for watching a drama or for choosing to watch a drama. But this one was both because of popularity and also because it was the, actually three reasons. Because it was so popular, because it was so anticipated, because I like the actors, and because I like the story. I appreciated how they, the characters and their own perks, and they made a very, very nice dynamic with the characters themselves, and then with the stories that they brought in and how they touched upon some sensitive topics as well, topics that are not strictly related to Korean society per se. And so, and yeah, overall, I actually really like the drama. I know it's a bit of general public kind of drama because of its quirkiness and funny moment. I might have told you guys before, but I realize how a drama might unfold, or like what kind of drama is by the chromatic that they use. You notice that they used more happy colors
Happy
for this one to
colors.
appeal in a more optimistic way. People wanted to be entertained by this drama. This is a general public drama, right? And so it was in the middle of the week, so it's when people want to relax. I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I think that when the drama is running is also important, a time slot. Yeah, I take a lot of things into consideration and I look at the very itty tiny bits because I'm a PhD student and that's a perk I have to live with, I guess. But yeah, overall, I have enjoyed this drama.
I just want to say it's very interesting how, for me, like as the only Korean in this group, that I watch this drama purely out of entertainment value. But for you guys, it's like also research.
Yeah, it's always hard to look back at your own culture and study it, I think.
It is very hard, and I don't think that's weird for you to just entertain. I mean, that's their purpose, really, to entertain people. So I don't think it's bad for people to just enjoy them. I think we have this habit because of our profession, let's say.
You have academic mindsets.
Well, isn't there a word for that? Like a professional.
I don't remember the word for it, but I know.
I wanted to say disease, but I don't think that's right. When you say you have like a occupational,
Hazard?
yeah, occupational hazard.
Oh.
There we go.
We have an occupational hazard to critique everything.
That is kind of true. I mean, I watch Korean dramas for enjoyment and Korean films for enjoyment, but always there's part of me that's like, what does this tell me about Korean society? Because that's what I pursue. So if I really want to relax and not think about anything, I watch American things, which is kind of funny, I guess.
Actually, same. Oh my God, Leslie. And I remember now, maybe 2 3 years ago, I was here in Korea and I was doing the summer school, and one of the classes was on film, and the professor was telling us at the beginning of the course, you were like, I'm gonna teach you guys how to analyze a film, how the our film is made, about frames and all that, lighting and camera movement. And then he was like, I'm gonna tell you guys, you're not gonna see a film the same way again. And I'm like, you're right, I'm not seeing a film the same way again. I'm looking at the transition, I'm looking at the colors.
Yeah, that's something I don't notice actually. I'm more about the other content.
Like how long a take is, how long a frame is. It's just little things that the directors put into the making of a film or a drama that kind of tells you what kind of emotion to expect, or what kind of environment it is, or what they want to portray. Like what emotion do they want to like instill in you? Being a PhD student, it's kind of the same thing. Like once you learn how to analyze and critique something in Korean culture, me being a Korean studies major, it's kind of hard to look at some things without making some connections in my head.
But Judy's over there being an actress, so yeah. Do you ever look at the acting and you see it differently? Yeah.
I do notice the acting a lot, not just in K-dramas and anything. There are some types of K-drama acting I really dislike, and then other ones that, you know, it's part of the charm. It's a little overplayed, it's quirky, but it's kind of like Bollywood acting. It's part of the style. I've grown to accept it. That Korean acting is a little bit different in style than American.
I think it's really cool that acting tropes, or like what's considered perhaps good acting and not good acting, varies depending on the culture and the nation that you go to. Because I grew up with Americans, or mostly Westerners, like how do they act? What's considered good acting and the right way to make something funny sound funny as well? Of course, humor varies really widely depending on where you are. But you do see tropes of like what works with Korean actors in the Korean drama setting that I try to put in my mind, like, would this work in the US? No, I wouldn't. I would be like, oh, that's weird. Like, that doesn't seem like good acting. So it's interesting.
I noticed the writing a lot too, like the script. Honestly, like so much of it goes into the writing. If the script is bad, it takes very skilled actors to make it not sound cringy.
You need a good story.
Yes, good story. Allie, you had other questions for us.
Yeah, I think so. So talking about stories, what about this story, the Woo Young-ho story and the drama? Why do you think it made such a huge impact? And what do you think is the reason that it became so popular? Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that the main character is on the autistic spectrum?
I'd say it's probably hard to take out that element just because it seems to be the deciding factor or the, I guess, pulling factor for a lot of people. It is a focus for sure.
It is a focus on the entire drama.
And it's not commonly found in Korean media.
Definitely not.
From the Korean perspective, it is new. Maybe that's why it's popular, but I'm not really sure why it's trending globally so much.
I thought part of it's the Netflix formula as well. Sorry, my chair is squeaky. The over-the-top systems have made Korean dramas very accessible to overseas audiences, and not just like the selective group that looks for Korean dramas, which is the group I was part of years ago when like you had to actually look for it to find it, but now it's just recommended to people. I think that's how Squid Game also became popular. It was just like recommended. People were like, okay. They would watch it and then it'd be like, wow, this is wonderful. So I think partly that, and then partly also I agree that it is the character of Woo Young-ho and how cute people found her, because it's not just you, Judy. A lot of people found her like really endearing, so they were drawn to her character specifically. If she wasn't part of it, even with all the other elements still intact, if she hadn't been part of that drama or had been different and was on the spectrum, I think it wouldn't have been as popular.
I think the fact that they use Netflix as a platform is very important.
Yeah.
And I like that you mentioned the algorithm, because Netflix is known for its algorithm and how they suggest dramas for people. And once Squid Game went out and conquered the whole globe, I think it was more easy to suggest other Korean dramas than before. Even though before Squid Games, Korean dramas were fairly popular, after Squid Games, it was like a sudden boom of Korean dramas being uploaded on Netflix. And I'm not sure exactly how, because I was in Korea at the time and I couldn't see exactly how they were introduced into the Netflix world. But I've seen in the past few years while I was back in at home, how me transitioning from what you, Leslie, said with having to actually search manually for Korean dramas on Netflix, I was like full on having a Korean drama Netflix. Like, I barely saw anything else on my suggesting. So yeah, Netflix's algorithm has played a very, very big role. But I also consider inclusivity having to do with this drama became so popular, because nowadays, I don't want to say a trend, because it should be something normal to have everyone included into the society. But I think that in the past few years, people have become to be more adamant or advocate for people that have till now been, let's say, more on the outskirts of the society, people with on the spectrum. It's not that they have something wrong, but they have not been included per se. I think especially in the Korean society, people with a spectrum and people that are viewed as not as the majority, like they do not have a medium to integrate themselves. Some of the schools for like special schools, for example, are created or moved into the outskirts of town in order to not be with the others. So there's still a bit of a stigma about it. And I think that this drama was not pushing it, but it did a good job on like presenting the spectrum in a way. Although it wasn't very detailed, it was not its purpose to be detailed about the spectrum.
It's sort of, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's sort of in vogue to advocate for the other these days, which is great.
Yeah.
But I think saying in vogue or using that term makes it sound like, oh, I don't like that. It's just trending. But it's cool in some younger circles, I think, these days to try to be like, hey, we care about these other people. Like, let's look into something different. Yeah, I don't know how to connect that really well, but
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to say that word or put it in that way. But it is true.
I'll say it for you.
Yeah, it is true. Like, it's kind of trendy to advocate for yourself or for others or for someone that you know. Like, nowadays, I'm watching YouTube shorts, which is a new thing for me. And I've seen in the past few days just a couple of videos on how people that are illiterate are very mistreated. And I think this is the videos are in US. And it's not, you know, it's not important where they are, but it's a bit of an advocacy there for people that are illiterate and have not had the opportunity to learn or the environment to learn how to read. In these short videos, people that are like they go to restaurants and they try to order and they can't read the menu, right? And then the servers are not very kind. And then these other people that are sitting next to them help them out. I'm not sure how much of this is staged, but it still plays a huge role in the advocacy for like illiteracy.
People are uncomfortable with things that go like outside the grid, like outside the way that they expect things to go. It's like you come into the restaurant, this is what you do, and so like it's more automated. And then when people, you can't perform that way because it can't be automated because people are acting differently. I think people get very, and I'm saying this also as a foreigner in Korea, like how sometimes my lack of perfect Korea skill like throws people off and it can cause really awkward situations or I can feel like I'm burdening them in some way. So I think that's a big thing. Like people who have special needs or different needs, yeah, they throw people off, and then that's where it's like, oh, it's just easier not to be around them. Like, let's just be separate. It's good to point that out. Like, hey, we're doing that. We shouldn't be doing that.
I do wonder, like, I think you're right in saying that it is somewhat of a trend. I mean, the thing with Korean media and, K-dramas, movies, is that what I find interesting but also unnerving is how much forward they seem to be ahead of actual Korean society in terms of advocating for these different issues, when I think in real life, in real Korean society, I don't know if I see those kinds of changes. I mean, I see protests, I see people complaining on the internet and on the streets, but I don't really see a lot of changes in attitude or behavior just in the general population. And it is such a big population, but I think Korea has always had a history of staying to the status quo, really. But yes, even though I think it's great that there is more representation on media now. It always seems to be this sort of bubble or this strange separate reality where it seems like through dramas like Squid Game that Korean society is really trying to change things, but it just seems to be highlighting the changes that don't really happen in reality. There's so many Korean dramas that talk about the corrupt justice system or corrupt education system, but there aren't any actual changes being made. It seems like in reality, a lot of people do view these shows as just entertainment, and at the end of the day, maybe it's because people don't feel like they have the power to change things, because if they feel like they're already so entrenched in the system, I think a lot of people just stay complacent. And in some ways, the system that they've set up, it is sort of, it's very hard to escape. So maybe it isn't very realistic, but also I wish it translated to more changes in reality. Yeah, because I really see a big difference in terms of being in Korea. I see not a lot of accommodation for disabilities, physical or mental. And it does seem like a society that's built to be comfortable for the majority. If you are in the majority, I feel like there's a lot of conveniences that maybe others can't enjoy.
That is true, and a lot of the foreigners say that Korea is very comfortable, and I agree as a foreigner. However, I know for a fact because I know I have a friend, and he is not able to see, and he confirmed that in the past few years, although it still has a lot of work to do, and it's still just in the Seoul metropolitan area, but it has become more comfortable for them to use the transport and just use the facilities in the city. It's true, it's more they're more comfortable inside Seoul and not so much as outside of it, but it's still something that is being worked on. I can see it as a very big comparison to my own hometown, where we don't really have much at all for people that aren't able to see or able to walk or have other challenges in doing their daily activities. So there's not even as many opportunities for them to work. So I think this is a big change. And regarding what you said about people making a fuss of things and not having actual change, I think behavioral change takes a lot of time. And especially to change the mentality of a population or a country or a community is, I think it takes generations. But at the same time, it's a good thing that they make these things the talk of the town. And I'm not against this being a trend. I know it sounds bad that it's a trend, but it makes people talk about it and it makes it known for people. Even though it doesn't necessarily change much, it is brought into discussion so people know about, okay, this is how autism might look like. It's not always the same, but this is how some people act. This is how people that are not able to walk feel like if they see them in around town. I know it would be nice if we see them more in our daily life and be more included in society, but I think that also takes a lot of time. But yeah, overall thing that it's still a good thing. Do you have anything to add, Leslie? You seem very deep in thoughts.
Pensive.
That's my
Oh,
default state.
okay. Should I ignore it or
Sorry.
leave it with your thoughts?
No, I'm just taking in your interesting perspectives.
I have a lot of perspectives about a lot of things, so I'm glad we're having a
You should put that
podcast.
on your profile. I feel like that's my favorite joke. I'm just like, ha, you should put that on your profile. And then I think, haha, I'm so funny.
My
I'm
profile
not.
would be too long for people to read. I don't think I have that many characters on my Instagram profile description.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, Instagram should fix that. You're just like, hey, you want a novel on your profile? Go for it. Express yourself.
I think I should just write a blog.
Just write a blog.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm not marketing.
That's why I should be.
Oh,
Maybe.
okay.
You'd be
Maybe a
good at
future
it.
career for you. And I do have a blog. Anyway, what's your next
Yeah,
question?
we should market Leslie's
Next
blog. It's
time on
very
the
cute and nice
podcast.
and very insightful in Korean society. And it makes me very impressed with how she thinks about it. And I kind of am willing to do one for myself, as I just mentioned.
Flattery will give you everywhere. What's your next question, Allie?
Yeah. So we talked about how this impacts the society in a way, but what do you think is the impact on people that are on the spectrum? Like, do you think this kind of outlet is beneficial for them, or is detrimental for these people? For example, I think that, as I just said, as long as it helps to bring more awareness, it is a good thing, unless it's brought in a negative way, or these people are hurt by these things. It's not a good thing, of course, but awareness is always a good thing. So, what do you guys think?
The only kinds of, I guess, Korean media I knew about or that talked about these kinds of topics were like, you know, those very old Korean TV shows, reality documentary styles where they like visit different families, like homes, and they talk about like how they live their lives with a son who was on the spectrum or something like that. I think it's always been portrayed in very kind of serious and honestly a little sad ways because it tries to highlight the tragedy of it. And in a sense, it is still a form of entertainment, these sort of tragedy documentaries that really go. There's a lot of those in Korea. I think one of them is called Ingan Gukjang. Like, I don't remember the names, but I know I've seen them on TV because you just turn it on in the middle of the day and it's like there. And it just shows like how families cope with different challenges. And so that's always sort of how it's been portrayed, I guess. I have seen other TV shows with characters on the spectrum, and it always seems to like the whoever is highlighted or featured as a main character seems to be pretty like high functioning and quite highly intelligent as well as being on the spectrum. I think that's a image that's generally seen in like fictionalized versions. So I did always wonder like what the discrepancy is, what the reality percentage of actual people on the spectrum do have such high intelligence. But I did see this YouTube channel that interviews different people on the spectrum in Korea, and I didn't know that existed. And they were talking about this drama. And it seemed to show like a variety of people on the spectrum with like different varying levels of IQ or intelligence, however you want to say it. One of the elements they were talking about, I think, was the whole romance aspect. How plausible is it for them to have a romantic relationship with someone who's not on the spectrum? The general conclusion seemed to be that like it's not very plausible for that to happen, especially because of the social challenges that romantic aspect is a very difficult thing for them. But also it did seem to come from more like a variety of perspectives, like people on the spectrum who seemed just as high functioning or intelligent as Woo Young-woo or sometimes less. So yeah, there's definitely like different ways of portraying, I guess, the reality, but I don't know if it's ever like fully shown, or I don't know if we'll really be able to experience what it's like. Like, I think the closest thing would be, you know, is having actual relationships or knowing people in real life and not on television. Like Ali said, they're so removed from society. You don't see them on the streets. You don't meet them in Seoul. So,
I
yeah.
think K-dramas can often act as a form of catharsis. Like, I think most people want to root for the other or root for the people who are on the periphery of society. I think there's a desire in a lot of people to do that, but it's very difficult to carry out because you have to seek it out on your own. And then when you actually meet somebody, like, it's just very present. It's like, oh, this is someone on the spectrum. What am I supposed to be doing? But I think when people watch Woo Young-woo, and this is a good thing, like you root for someone who's on the autistic spectrum, and that feels really good. It feels like, wow, this is great. Like this, our society can be capable of this. This is how life should be. But actually going out, because as you mentioned, people who don't fit into the like parameters of like the more easy or what we consider normal life, I guess daily life, I don't know, that you just don't see out in public. It's very hard to switch around your schedule and to make that more present, I suppose. I don't know how to describe it well, but I hope you're getting the gist.
I think regarding what you said about understanding, I think it's like and also to touch upon what Chuyi said about really romantic relationships of people on the spectrum. I think a big, a very important and fundamental difference that they have is the way that they see the world and how they connect to it. And I think that is very important in relationships in general. Like, if you don't understand each other or your view of the world, it's hard to have a relationship with someone that is not on the spectrum either. So I think that plays a very important role in why they would have a higher chance of having a relationship with someone that is also on the spectrum because of how they understand this part of themselves, of how they relate to the world. Because we see in the drama as well that they don't connect emotionally to other people very easily. And so they always have a very centered self, and everything is very hyper emotional towards them. And it's very hard for them to open up to other people or to understand emotions in other people. That's why they can't read our faces that very well. And that is a very fundamental difference with people that are able to understand emotions and are emotionally attached to other people like we are. And I think it needs for a very understanding person. And we see this character in the drama. He is very understanding also because he has experience with working and helping these people in his past. But he is also very willing to understand her. And that takes a very big toll. And I think that is very rare in people to be that devoted to understand the fundamentals of a person and how they see the world. I know that is important in general, but it's even more important in this case because it's so different. I like how they portrayed that.
It takes a lot of sacrifice.
Yes, exactly. It's sad to say that not many are able to make this kind of sacrifice. Many would be, oh, I don't understand you. I cannot communicate with you. And even if it's not regarding a romantic relationship, even if it's just a friendship or a normal relationship or a coworker or something like that, they would also have to sacrifice. We see the people around Woo Young-woo that they accept her and they try to understand her. They don't reject her. And we see the difference in how this close relationship circle she has with the people in the same, even in the same law firm, that they reject her and don't try to understand her, and we see them as the bad guys, right? But those are the general population that are not able to understand, and they misinterpret these people. So it is very hard for them, I think, in from this particular aspect, to find romantic relationships.
Society itself is not super patient, especially in big cities like this, especially in Bali Bali culture. Quickly, quickly, get things done quickly, quickly. Because then you can't get things done really quickly when you have to pause and be like, oh, I have to adjust myself and my thoughts to this other person who is not acting in the way that I expected. That takes time. Yeah, that's why sacrifice and humility are really important features. Yeah, Woo Young-woo, it sort of shows a society that is ideal. It's like, this is how society should be. And I think that's a really important thing to remind the viewer, like, hey, this is something that could be. Let's try to make the world more like this. But it's not, certainly not reality. for at least most people, I can't speak for every person, but having that kind of idealized workplace where coworkers do care for one another and they look after one another and they try to understand one another. And like, that's hard to find. It is. But it's nice to be reminded that, oh, hey, Korean dramas do this a lot, I think. It's like, hey, this is how society could be. So just keep this in mind. Maybe try to make society more like this.
But at the same time, wouldn't people just assume that that is a given and then be very disappointed when the society is not that way?
You mean people who aren't familiar with the society?
I mean, it might as well be Korean people, but yeah, I guess people that are mostly not familiar with. Because if we're talking about this, we know that a lot of foreigners come into Korea with a sort of an expectation and an overly excited state, expecting like all rainbows and happiness. And yeah, it's nice, but there's no country that has perfect community and the environment. Like, we have to be truthful about it. So yeah, it does offer a bit of a distorted truth, I guess.
Yeah,
it is hopeful, but at the same time, is it helpful?
That is hard, because when I first came to Korea, I had that kind of idealized version in my head, but at the same time, I knew that it couldn't be true, because it's just a country, it's just a people, it's not an idealized perfect place. But I remember thinking of Korea as on par with Hogwarts, like that's how excited I was for it, and that's how unreal it seemed to me. But I knew that it wouldn't be that way, but you can't really control your emotions. But these emotions came because of K-culture, what I'd seen in K-culture, what was available and accessible to watch. And it does, I think, inspire. From what I've read, like, it inspires that sort of feeling in a lot of people, of like, oh, this looks so wonderful, and just like this emotional reaction. So yeah, people do get disappointed when they come to Korea and they're like, oh, it's just a country with its own nuanced issues. Yeah, and you can get through that or you can't get through that one way or the other, but I don't know if it's helpful or hurtful. I think if you never get out of that mindset of like, Korea is perfect, everything's wonderful, then that's not helpful, that's harmful.
Oh, we can have that on another podcast. There's so much to say. Talking about society, you've noticed that the drama talks about a lot about some societal issues as well, and sensitive stuff. What do you think about that? And do you think that impacts the Korean society? Like, we have some episodes with defectors, suicidal tendencies. This is a very sensitive topic in Korea. Do you think it helps as well? Like, letting aside the spectrum.
I think it was something about the case with the rapist or the potential rapist. That was, I think, one of the most vague or morally vague cases. I guess that also puts into question the autonomy of people on the spectrum, like grown adults who are mentally younger. You know, how much autonomy do they have? Should they have? Is it okay for her mom to control her like that? Is that, in a way, like, necessary to still, I guess, be treated like a child, to have a guardian? There's just a lot of interesting questions. Because I think I'm a kind of person where, like, just because something's illegal doesn't mean it's wrong, in the sense of, doesn't mean it's, like, a bad thing. But there are times when you get into legal issues and you have to find a way out of them.
I think that particular case is very interesting and hard, even as a lawyer or judge. Because she was biologically an adult, but mentally was a 13-year-old or something like that. I don't remember the exact age. So it's hard to discern which way you should go with your judgment. But I also like the fact that I think the judge was asking her some questions in order to understand if she is capable of discerning for herself. And that they brought in, and I think that's important, that they brought in a specialist for people on the spectrum to understand more of how she is thinking and to analyze her movements a bit in her judgment. But at the same time, I like how he was subjected to the law. I mean, at the end of the day, the law is what keeps everything in order. That's why it's law and order, right? And even though she might have agreed verbally to act, emotionally she wasn't ready, and she showed that on the show. And I think it's very interesting how they portray that on the show. Even though he was probably genuine about the relationship, it's still very hard to understand these people because they have a different way of communicating. So I guess, as Judy said earlier, it's interesting and nice that they put a more accent on the law and how it should be applied and how it should ultimately provide order in society.
I mean, I appreciated that they, like a lot of the cases they brought to light, did have these kind of ambiguous questions, or they had these questions with ambiguous answers, as I'd rather say that, such as the girl who had a mental disability and her lover, like, who was on trial for like raping her, sexually abusing her. But like they had technically sort of been together, like you could see in their text messages, but he didn't have any mental disability. And so the outcome of that trial is like, did he do wrong in that? Like what was right, what was wrong? They didn't end with a clear answer, and I appreciated that. And I think that's sort of how they approached a lot of issues, where sometimes it did feel like this is the right, just thing to do. But sometimes it was very ambiguous, like, well, what was the right thing to do in this situation? If you were a lawyer, what would you have done? And I appreciated that a lot, because sometimes it can be too black and white, like, this is right, this is wrong. Okay, well, life doesn't feel that way most of the time.
I think that's why I enjoy the law, but I don't see it as like an ultimate source of justice. Because we all know that, legal systems are created by humans and it's always going to be flawed and there's always going to be a way around it, which I guess is a lawyer's job. But to me, it's almost like not even a fight for right and wrong, but it's like a puzzle. You're trying to find the right puzzle pieces that will get you the answer that you need or the right result. Both sides. There's all the answers are in the book. It's in the law, and you just have to find the right one. I really do think it'll be a challenge, and this is a little veering off topic. I feel like I would like working in law because I think it's challenging, but as a Christian, I feel like it is a place where I would have a chance to literally or figuratively defend, advocate for people who general society would probably not advocate for. I think it is a workplace where you could have the opportunity to show mercy and love to those who don't necessarily deserve it. I think this drama showed many different elements of that career track, as well as I don't know how realistic it is, but they were as interesting as civil court cases can be. But the problem for me is where I would go into law. Law is being a lawyer, I feel like, is one of those careers slash educations that's a little bit like regional specific. Like you have to sort of learn in a place where you would practice the law. And for me, I would practice law in English because my Korean is just not that good. But citizen wise, I am Korean. It'd be a little difficult for me to. Unless I plan to just immigrate and move to a completely different country, it'd be hard for me to study law.
Well, you have time if you wanna. Your early 20s, you can go into law if you want. That's great that it inspired that in you, though. She's like, oh, this is a way I could advocate for people. So that's an outcome of Uyang-woo for you, maybe for other people as well.
Yeah, I hope everyone, or everyone who watched it, at least is impacted in some way, in a good way.
I think a lot of people would have been inspired and are inspired and will be inspired about from this drama. Because it touches upon so many things, and there are so many things we could talk about. We only have so little time, but there's still so many questions that I might have in regards to this drama. But I guess we could leave it for another time or for a personal discussion not on the podcast. But I think overall, and why I wanted to talk about this drama is that it's so interesting and so rich. And yeah, I think it a good way to reach more audience, more very varied audience, compared to just having criminal based dramas with a dark a character and focused on the victims and the search for the bad guy. So yeah, you found a new passion, Judy.
Oh yeah. I never thought I would enjoy civil cases more than criminal, but here we are. A new passion. Dry and dusty law books. I enjoy a lot of things people find really dry. Yeah. Any other final thoughts? Comments?
Will you guys watch season two?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm waiting for it.
Of course. Of course. I'm actually very curious to see if it could be on par with the first season, because we've noticed a lot of dramas that went on to have a second part were not as good as the first one, but there are still some dramas that live up to the expectation. And I'm actually looking forward to this one. It's not probably gonna be any soon, but yeah, I'm looking forward to see how the story evolves with her mom, Woo-young-woo's mom, and her how and if her romantic relationship evolves from where it's at this point in the drama.
I hope they don't do what some seasons do, or like sequels, where they like just take out the first love interest because the person doesn't want to do it again, and then they have like a new random person come in, because I always get really angry. It's like, no, I liked the first one. So I think they said that they'll
Oh, they
come
can't do
back.
that.
Yeah, I hope so too.
It's too popular.
I will riot in front of wherever the president stays these days. I'll go and be like, hey, bring him back.
I think the president has nothing to do with this drama. It won't like help, I think.
My heart will feel happier if I'm like, go to the head.
Maybe go in front of the channel, like ENA building. I think we had a very, very nice discussion today, and I thank you guys for this. There's still so much to say, but we'll leave it for the next time. There will always be a next time.
There'll always be a next time. So thank you for listening. And this was Mixed Coffee.
This was Allie
Judy
and Leslie.
And we'll hear you next time.